In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you today. Oh yes, how we need God. How we need the Holy Spirit. How we need the Spirit of God that will cause us to have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know Jesus today? I did not say, do you know about Jesus today? Do you know Jesus today? It was said that some great scholar, orator, was to pray the 23rd Psalm, "The Lord is my shepherd." And so he prayed, "The Lord is my shepherd." He's a great orator. And then came a pastor who was going to pray. And as he prayed, people started to weep. You know why? The orator knew the words, but the pastor knew the shepherd. Oh yes, it's all about the shepherd. Io sono un buon pastore. I am the good shepherd in Italian. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep. And my sheep know me. I tell you, it's all about Jesus today. I'm reading from the 20th chapter, verse 17 of Acts of the Apostles. From Miletus, he sent a message to Ephesus asking the elders of the church to meet with him. You know, Paul was in Ephesus 3 years, preaching the word of God, going from house to house, making sure that there was a firm foundation on Jesus Christ. When they came to him, he said to them, "You yourselves know how I lived among you," this is Paul, "the entire time from the first day that I set foot in Asia, serving the Lord with all humility and with tears, enduring the trials that came to me through the plots of the Jews. I did not shrink from doing anything helpful, proclaiming the message to you and teaching you publicly from house to house, as I testified both to Jews and Greeks about repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ." I tell you, Paul had it in his DNA to preach. I wonder how many people have it in their DNA to preach. I pray that God would give that DNA preaching to me, that I would continue to preach the Word of God, that I would continue to tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ, about his death, burial, and resurrection, about repentance so that they would be able to give their life to Jesus. And now, as a captive to the Spirit, that's something, a captive to the Holy Spirit, I am on my way to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies to me in every city that imprisonment, persecutions are waiting for me. But I do not count my life of any value myself, only that I may finish my course and the ministry that I received from the Lord Jesus. I just want to finish the course that the Lord has given me to finish. That's all I want. I can accept the persecutions. I have endured the persecutions. I have embraced the persecutions. But I want to finish what God started in me. Oh yes, I wonder how many people can say that before the Lord. I want to finish what God started in me. To testify to the good news of God's grace. I told you what Catholics believe is sola gratia, only grace, leading to faith and good works. We are saved by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, Oh, yes, how we need that grace. You know, after Pentecost, we start ordinary time. It's not ordinary. It's time in the Holy Spirit. It's time in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's nothing ordinary about it. I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the good news of God's grace. And now I know that none of you among whom I have gone about proclaiming the kingdom will ever see my face again. He's off to Jerusalem, and from Jerusalem to Rome. I declared to you this day that I am not responsible for the blood of any of you, for I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole purpose of God. What's the whole purpose of God? Word, sacrament, power of God. Word, especially the Eucharist. Sacraments, the power of God. In Acts of the Apostles, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and throughout all the ends of the earth. Keep watch over yourselves and over all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God that he obtained with the blood of his own son. Do you know that you've been blood-bought? If you're part of the church and given your life to Jesus, you've been blood-bought through the blood of Jesus. Oh yes, blood-bought. How many people are in heaven? Blood-bought people. People that have been bought with the blood of the Lamb. Sinners saved by grace. Bought with the blood of Jesus. I know that after I have gone, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Some even from your own group will come distorting the truth in order to entice the disciples to follow them. You see, Paul wanted them to follow Jesus. He proclaimed Jesus from house to house. He made tents so that he'd have money in his pocket and would live not by accounting money from the people of Ephesus, but that he would make tents so that he would have money that he needed to use in order to entice the disciples to follow them. Therefore, be alert, remembering that for 3 years I did not cease night and day to warn everyone with tears. I preached 3 years in Ephesus, and now I commend you to God and to the message of his grace, a message that is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all who are sanctified. I coveted no one's silver. I coveted no one's gold and no one's clothing. You know for yourselves that I worked with my own hands, making tents, to support myself and my companions. In all this, I have given you an example that by such work we must support the weak, remembering the words of the Lord Jesus. For he himself said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." When he had finished speaking, he knelt down with them all and prayed. There was much weeping among them all. They embraced Paul. They kissed him, grieving, especially because of what he had said, that they would not see him again. Then they brought him to the ship. Hallelujah. My Lord, the followers of Jesus wept when Paul left, because they weren't going to see him anymore. He's been there 3 years preaching the gospel. Well, I've been at Holy Rosary 25 years preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. 25 years. Oh, yes. I've been doing it in season and out of season, when convenient and inconvenient. Oh, yes. Through the Holy Spirit, they told Paul not to go on to Jerusalem. When our days were ended, we left and proceeded in our journey, and all of them with wives and children escorted us outside the city. There we knelt down on the beach and prayed and said farewell to one another. Then we went on board the ship and they returned home. I tell you, this is a real priest, a real bishop, a real pastor. When we had finished the voyage from Tyre, we arrived at Ptolemy, and we greeted the believers and stayed with them for one day. What do you think Paul talked about to the believers? All the things that God had done through him to the Gentiles. The next day, chapter 21:8, the next day we left and came to Caesarea, and we went into the house of Philip the evangelist, one of the seven deacons. Oh yes, they're not waiting on table. They're preaching the word of God. They're doing miracles. Listen to this. We stayed with Philip. He had four unmarried daughters who had the gift of prophecy. So I'm sure they're prophesying over St. Paul. While we were staying there for several days, a prophet named Agabus came down from Judea. He came to us and took Paul's belt, bound his own feet and hands with it, and said, "Thus says the Holy Spirit, this is the way the Jews in Jerusalem will bind the man who owns this belt and will hand him over to the Gentiles." In other words, persecution in Jerusalem. You know, we are big babies. We've been raised on bonbons. How many of us get persecuted for speaking the word of God and for living Jesus? And when we're persecuted, poor me, I was persecuted. No, Paul rejoiced with Silas in the jail at 12 o'clock, singing hymns to the Lord Jesus Christ, rejoicing that they were persecuted. When we heard this, we and the people there urged Paul not to go up to Jerusalem. Why? Because there was persecution that intended for him. Then Paul answered, "What are you doing, weeping and breaking my heart? For I am ready not only to be bound, but even to die in Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ." This is Paul. This is a real bishop, a pastor. This is Paul, a real Christian, preaching the word of God, doing it every day, every minute, going house to house, proclaiming Jesus and repentance. Since he would not be persuaded, we remained silent except to say, "The Lord's will be done." And after these days, we got ready and started to go up to Jerusalem. The only way to get to Jerusalem is to go up to Jerusalem. Some of the disciples from Caesarea also came along and brought us to the house of Mnason of Cyprus, an early disciple with whom we were to stay. When we arrived in Jerusalem, the brothers welcomed us warmly. The next day, Paul went with us to visit James, and all the elders were present. After greeting them, he related one by one the things that God had done among the Gentiles through his ministry. Oh, they didn't have a meeting. They had a meeting that this is what God did. This is what God did. This is what God did. Oh, yes. There was someone that was dead, Eutychus, and I hugged him and held him close to me, and his life came back to him. Oh, yes, Eutychus. And then all the people that Paul healed through the power of the Holy Spirit. Oh, yes, that's what they talked about. They didn't talk about, "Well, you know what? We have no finances. we have no finances. No, they didn't talk about finances. They talked about what God was doing. What is God doing in your life today? What is God doing in my life today? I want to share with you the things that God is doing. I've been preaching, even though I don't feel it, because I'm leaving Holy Rosary. I don't feel it, but I know it. I know it. I know it. I have to continue to preach until I take off to go to Quincy. Yes, continue to preach so that people would know that Jesus Christ is Lord by the glory of God the Father. Oh, yes. Do you know that today? That Jesus Christ is Lord by the glory of God the Father. Do you know that today? When they heard it, they praised God. They praised God for all the things that Paul told them, what God was doing to the Gentiles. Then they said to him, "You see, brother, how many thousands of believers there are among the Jews, and they are all zealous for the law. They have been told about you, that you teach all the Jews living among the Gentiles to forsake Moses." That's not true. That's a lie. "And that you tell them not to circumcise their children or observe the customs." That's not true. That's not true. He asked them to follow what Moses said, that after Moses left, there would be a great prophet, and that great prophet is Jesus. What then is to be done? They will certainly hear that you have come. So do what we tell you. We have four men who are under a vow. Join these men and go through the rite of purification with them and pray for the shaving of their heads. Thus, all will know that there is nothing in what they have been told about you." In other words, they're still Jewish. They're still Jewish. Oh, he says to the Gentiles, you don't need to be circumcised, but not to the Jews. Not to the Jews. "But that you yourself observe and guard the law. But as for the Gentiles who have become believers, we have sent a letter with our judgment that they should abstain from what has been sacrificed to idols, abstain from blood, and from that which was strangled, and from fornication." Oh yes, the Gentile believers were not made to circumcise their men. Oh no, I tell you how we need the Lord. How we need the Lord. Then Paul took the men, and the next day, having purified himself, he entered the temple with them, making public the completion of the days of purification when the sacrifice would be made for each of them. See, they're still Jewish. They're still Jewish. Paul knows it's not by this blood of goats and sheep that we're saved, but by the blood of Jesus, by the precious blood of Jesus. Do you know that today? Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. He washes all white as snow. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. It washes white as snow. Your sins have been forgiven through the blood of the Lamb. My sins have been forgiven in baptism through the blood of the Lamb. Remember what Catherine of Siena talks about penance. I'm going under the blood. I'm going under the blood. When the 7 days were almost completed, the Jews from Asia who had seen him in the temple stirred up the whole crowd. They seized Paul, shouting, "Fellow Israelites, help! This is the man who is teaching everyone everywhere against our people, against our law, and against the temple. More than that, he has actually brought Greeks into the temple and has defiled the holy place. It's not true. It's not true. I tell you, they hated him. They hated him. Oh, Paul would share with the Jew first that he was like a lamb led to the slaughterhouse, like a sheep before his shearers, and he opened not his mouth. I tell you, Paul knew Jesus, and he had DNA in his veins to preach the word of God. Oh, that God would raise up many preachers, that they have DNA in their blood, that they would preach the word of God in season and out of season. For they had previously seen Trophimus and Ephesian with him in the city, and they supposed that Paul had brought him into the temple. He didn't. They supposed. I don't care what you suppose. What's real? What's real? They just want to catch Paul. They want to kill Paul because he preaches the Lord Jesus Christ, that he preaches God. He preaches the Trinity. Oh, yes. Then all the city was aroused, and all the people rushed together. They seized Paul and dragged him out of the temple, and immediately the doors were shut. While they were trying to kill him, word came to the tribune of the cohort that all Jerusalem was up in an uproar. Immediately he took soldiers and centurions and ran down to them. When they saw the tribune and the soldiers, they stopped beating Paul. You can't beat Paul. He's a Roman citizen. And you know what's going to happen? Paul says, I'm going to take my case to Caesar because I want to witness to him, because they struck a Roman citizen. And Paul says, I didn't buy it. I was born a Roman citizen. Then the tribunal came and arrested him and ordered him to be bound with two chains. He inquired who it was and what had been done. Some in the crowd shouted one thing, some shouted another, and as he could not learn the facts because of the uproar, he ordered him to be brought into the barracks. When Paul came to the steps, the violence of the mob was so great that he had to be carried by the soldiers. They wanted him dead. The crowd that followed kept shouting, "Away with him! Away with him!" Just as Paul was about to be brought into the barracks, he said to the tribune, "May I say something to you?" The tribune replied, "Do you know Greek? Then you are not the Egyptian who recently stirred up a revolt and led the 4,000 assassins into the wilderness." Paul replied, "I am a Jew from Tarsus in Cilicia, a citizen of an important city. I beg you, let me speak to the people." And when he had given him permission, Paul stood on the steps, and I was on those steps, and motioned to the people for silence. And when there was a great hush, he addressed them in the Hebrew language, saying, "Brothers and fathers," verse 1, chapter 22, "brothers and fathers, listen to the defense that I now make before you." And you know what Paul's going to do? He's going to give his witness again. I tell you, we need men and women like Paul. We need people that would preach the gospel, that would not be afraid of persecution. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I told you the story about Betty Foley, who was a nurse. It was Good Friday, and she said, "Help me not to be like Peter and Judas, who denied Jesus." She was in the train, and this evangelist was preaching the cross of Jesus Christ, and he looked right at my friend Betty and says, "What do you say about Jesus?" Betty shouted out, "He is the Lord! Jesus Christ is Lord!" With that, the doors opened and Betty left. But she said it. She did it. She did not compromise. I tell you, so many people have compromised with the truth, compromised with the world, compromised. I tell you, God loves people who speak out loud. He loves everybody. He loves everyone. But there's a special grace for the speakers. And you know what? You don't have to be on a microphone. You can just share with your neighbor. You can just share with your children. You can just share with those that are in your basket. The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Behold the handmaid of the Lord. Let it be done unto me according to your word. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. And the Word became flesh in the womb of the Virgin Mary and dwelt among us. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. May Jesus Christ be praised. God bless you.
Behold, I stand at the door and knock.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.